Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into the vineyard. When he went out at 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I'll pay you whatever's right.' So they went. When he went out again at noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. He said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' Now, when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to them, 'Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me to the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I'm generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Have you ever thought that the world has some very unfair things in it? You know, it just doesn't function the way we would like to have it function. Charlie Brown was going to the movies. He saw this big sign that said, "Free candy bar to the first 100 people who come." He was excited. He loved candy. So he waited in line, and being the nice guy that he was, he let a few people go ahead of him because he was busy talking to Lucy. He got to the ticket booth, and she said, "101. Sorry, kid, no candy bar." Unfair, isn't it? Wow. Just seems like he couldn't win. I knew a woman who worked in a fast food restaurant who had won all kinds of awards for the restaurant and for herself because of the work that she did. Never missed a day of work in 20 years. And as the 20-year anniversary approached, they let her go. And they hired a younger person, because that way they wouldn't have to pay the pension that was promised her at 20 years. Unfair. It just seems so unfair. So you probably know the story about the two pastors who passed away, and they were waiting to get into heaven. The line was long, and they were sitting down waiting to be allowed in. And as they're standing, or they're waiting there, a cab driver, whom they knew as being vulgar and mean-spirited and a dangerous driver, came up to the gate, and they're thinking, this guy's going to go to the back of the line. But instead, he's ushered right on in. So they come to St. Peter, and they said, "What's the deal here? We've worked our whole lives trying to save souls, and we've been waiting for hours and hours, and this guy, who is a mean cuss, has been allowed in." St. Peter said, "Well, let me tell you, This guy has scared the hell out of more people in his period of time than the two of you put together. Unfair, though, isn't it? It just seems like, how can you live with that? Everything seems to be unfair. In the scriptures, we hear the unfair things happening too. There's a rich young man. He has everything he's ever needed, ever wanted. I don't know whether he inherited it. I don't know if he earned it. It doesn't really matter. But he has all of this. And all he needs now is the assurance that he's going to go to heaven. And Jesus says, well, that's great. Now, just sell everything you have and give it to the poor. What? I can't take it with me? How unfair is that? Yeah, James and John were walking with Jesus one day, and they figure they've been with him for almost 3 years. Surely they could have the right hand and left hand side of Jesus when he gets to heaven, right? You know, Jesus says, the first will be last, and the last will be first. How unfair is that? And then we have the story, our first reading from Jonah. This is a story of unfairness in many ways. Jonah, remember the story, he has run away from God, trying to avoid what God sent him to do, ends up on a ship going the opposite direction, but the storm comes up, he's thrown into the sea, he's swallowed by a fish, and has to spend 3 days in the stinking belly of this big fish, and then becomes so much fish vomit on the beach. Finally says, okay, I'll do it, Lord, I'll do it. And so he walks for days and days preaching repentance and renewal. And then he goes and sits. You know, I picture him sitting up on the hill waiting to watch the fireworks. You know? He's hoping that God is going to smite these people mightily and just wipe them out. Wouldn't that be a sight to see? But these people have the audacity to repent and return to the Lord. How unfair is that to Jonah? And he complains to God, God, how can you let this happen? I've done all of this for you, and now I don't even get to see the whole place destroyed. But God says, there's a higher justice. Isn't it better that they repent and learn what it means to be a member of my kingdom? The Apostle Paul, sitting in prison in Rome, when he receives word from the Philippians that they're rather upset because God's not being fair with them either. They've come to know the Lord, but now they're having to go through all kinds of persecution. They're losing their jobs, they're losing their homes, they're losing all kinds of things. God is not really being fair to us, they're saying to Paul. And Paul says, well, I understand that. You know my suffering now. I'm sitting here in prison. And he is in a position where it's almost certain execution. And yet he says, you know, I don't know which is better. To live and stay with you, or to die and be with the Lord. Wow. What a dilemma. Is it fair that a man who has spent his whole life now taking care of people and preaching to people and leading people to Christ, that he might go through execution? But he can't choose which it is, which is better, to be with these people or to be with the Lord. That's even better. Jesus hits the nail on the head in the gospel today in telling this parable. It's a parable I think I understand a little better because I have actually seen this scene myself. People gathered and they want to go to work. And they're waiting and hoping that somebody will hire them so that they will have enough money to feed their family. I saw it in Paraguay. I saw it in Tanzania. I saw it in Cameroon. But it didn't. I've seen it here in this country too. I saw it in El Paso, Texas. And I saw it in Seattle, Washington, just a mile from where my son lives. People gathered, waiting, hoping that somebody, a farmer, a contractor, somebody will hire them, because if they don't come home with some money, their family will go to bed starving. Waiting. And that's the people waiting here. They're not hoping to get a little bit of mad money just to go out and blow it on whatever. This is life and death. And Jesus points out that whether you came early in the game or late in the game, you were still hungry. They needed what was to be given. And God was gracious enough to provide that for us too. It's really difficult sometimes when we think of that as being unfair. How many of you know of somebody who has made a deathbed confession? Yeah, we've all read about it. And there's part of us that says, oh, come on now. I've been a Christian all my life. I've worked in the church. I've done all of these good things. And here he comes, or she comes, and haven't done a thing. And now all at once at the end, they get to go to heaven too? Boy, is that unfair. Isn't that kind of what our thinking is? Yeah. But God calls us to something special, to help us remember that while we had the advantage of knowing the love, the forgiveness, and the grace of God, they haven't known it until this very moment. We've known it our whole lives. We've worked in it. We've loved in it. We've cared for it. They haven't had any of that experience until this very moment, that deathbed. I'd like to have us remember, when the food pantry asks for food for the hungry, instead of feeling resentful, let's give all that we possibly can and give God thanks that we had three meals a day that we could eat. And when disaster really asked for funds for the people who were burned out in the fires or being burned out now or flooded out by the rains or the hurricanes or torn apart by tornadoes, when those requests come, may we give from the heart, generously, thanking God that we still have a roof over our heads, that we still have the love and the grace of God always with us. And even when we hear people who have just come to faith in the last days of their life, may we give thanks that finally they get to experience the love, the forgiveness, the grace of God that we have known all of this time. Because in the end, that really is the good news that we have to share. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.